Father, we're all broken people, and we all need you today, Lord. Thank you for Jen, Lord. Thank you for the journey that you have helped her through, and that you're strengthening her day by day to be able to use the pain that she went through to share it with other people and be light. And so I pray you bless her and many in this room. Father, we thank you that we always have hope in you, and even though we're a mess. You are the great potter, and we're just the clay. So we pray today as we continue in your word that's so powerful, it's so awesome, gives us hope in the midst of pain. We thank you that you did come to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free. And so today as we go to your word, Lord, I pray you encourage all of us. And if you're sitting here today, please, you've never accepted Christ, please come to Jesus today. It's the only way to take away your sin for all eternity, but also to enjoy life the way God planned it. Father, I need you today. I'm still weak physically, still coughing, and but your word is still powerful, even though this is a weak vessel. That it's not the vessel; it's the word. So, please encourage us all today as we hear your word. And do the surgery you do from the inside out that will look more like Jesus today, we pray. Amen. All right, so obviously going through the series, knowing Jesus, letting me know, but I'm focusing on surrender. I'm going to try to pull it all together today of us surrendering. So if we want to know Jesus more and let him be known, we have to surrender. And like I said in the beginning when I started this series, and this mini-series within it, is that we struggle with the surrender because our flesh is so strong. The world is pulling us in a direction is the opposite, right? And we think surrendering is like the worst thing. If we surrender, we're going to be like, oh, we're going to be miserable. It's not true. And remember, the definition is that we're absolutely depending on Christ through the Holy Spirit. And you know that you and I know we're surrendering when we're what? Seeing the fruit of the Spirit in our life, right? And then I looked at some examples. I looked at Jesus, Paul, looked at Peter, some bad examples. And then last week, I looked at the command by Jesus to surrender. And just want to throw that back up, and then we're going to pick up where we left off. So the exhortation to surrender, he said, follow the Savior unconditionally. He said, follow me. Remember, in the text, it was physically, but now we're going to follow his word no matter what. No matter how we feel, no matter what's going on in our life, we're going to stick to what the word says, and that's it. And that's hard to do sometimes because we think the opposite. And remember, Jesus said, I have no place to lay my head. You put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. So to be totally sold out, we have to have these concepts that this is not our home. This is not a comfort zone. I'm willing to follow him, whatever his word says. I'm going to put the kingdom first. Right? And then we looked at freedom from self and shame. You know, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow him. And then the last thing we looked at, first placed in love, right? In Matthew 10, he said, if you have to love me more than your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, and it almost looks like you hate them compared to loving him, right? He said, I came to bring a sword. And he didn't say, I want to divide up your family. He said, when you love me first and other people don't, there's automatically going to be division. I got a text a couple weeks ago from somebody, and they said, Ken Smith, they said, this person said to me, Ken Smith is a true friend because he loves me unconditionally. Jesus knows that if we love him first and we let his love go through us, we're going to love people the way we're supposed to. So when we're not loving the people the way we're supposed to, we're not giving that unconditional love out or unconditional forgiveness, we know we're not surrendered. Right? Because it always flows this way. All right, so last week we started on the essentials of surrender, and the first point I gave was stewardship of God's gifts, not taking ownership, right? Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So God owns everything, right? We're only stewards of everything that we have. And as soon as we take ownership, we're going to be into trouble, right? And we went through 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I ended with these verses, and this is where we left off. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So we don't belong to ourselves. Everything we should be doing is saying, through the hands of God, Lord, it is yours. All right? So when we take ownership, we're going to be in trouble. Let me give you an example. Go to 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. So the context of this is the king of Judah, Hezekiah. And it's 715 to 686 BC. He reigned. And if you go back to chapter 28, his dad was wicked. Man, his dad was so wicked that he sacrificed his own son to Moloch in the fire. I mean, you think, how in the world can somebody do that? But his son, he started living for God. You know what that tells me? It doesn't matter what your upbringing is, what it is. If you will follow God, he will use you and he will change you. So really, there's no excuses with Christ that no matter what happened to you, when somebody isn't living for God, maybe next to you, across the room, whatever it is, like, we want to always blame people for why we're not living for God. This is a great example that this God, I mean, could you imagine your father sacrificing your brother? You think, man, I can never make a difference. Look what has happened to me. Absolutely not. See this as an example. He stood up and said, I'm going to follow God whether no one follows God. So, in this context, Israel has been taken away by Assyria. Judah is now going away, and they're living their own life. They're not surrendering to God at all. So he comes on the scene and says, hey, let's surrender back to God. Look at verse 1. It says, Hezekiah being in reign when he was 5 and 25 years old. So the guy's 25 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, verse 2, and he did that which was right, not wrong, like his father, in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. I always love that statement. David wasn't a perfect person, but God knew his heart. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. It was closed. And he brought in priests and the Levites, and he gathered them together into the east street, and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves. Right? The word sanctify, set apart, make holy. Sanctify the house of the Lord of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place, both physically and spiritually. Revival always starts with one thing, right? We see God in his holiness, but then you start seeing your filthiness, and you say, we got to get it out. So let God always examine you and me. Always pray that, Lord, sure is my heart. Is there anything between us? Don't say, hey, God, if you would only do this, if you'd only change that person, it always starts with us. Revival always starts with us. And you can have revival, and nobody else can have revival. It doesn't matter. It's not dependent on anybody else. And we kind of always blame everybody for that, but don't. Look, just a great example. He says in verse 6, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, and he hath forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. They didn't put him in first place. It was about their own life. And they had shut up the doors of the porch. They put out the lamps. Talking about no worship. There's no offering for sin. He says, they have not burnt incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he had delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing. That means derision, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword. Our sons and our daughters are, and our wives are in captivity for this. See, ultimately, we're going to get to, obviously, we trust in Christ. If you're a Christian today, there's no more wrath that's going to come upon you because of Jesus. But you will destroy your life, and I will destroy my life as we go away from the word of the Lord and we don't surrender to him. Destruction will happen. Captivity will happen. We'll be in bondage, even though positionally we're not. Right? And then he said, verse 10, now it is time in my heart to make a covenant. That's an agreement with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not negligent. No, don't be deceived, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense. Jump to verse 20 real quick. And Hezekiah, the king, rose up early, gathered the rulers of the city, went up into the house of the Lord, and they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary of Judah, and commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them unto the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them and made reconciliation. Let's bring them back together with the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel, for the king commanded that the burnt offering, the sin offering, should be made for all Israel. So we as believers, we got to go run back to the cross, right? We got to run back. If you're not saved, you got to run to the cross for the first time to get saved. So you do not experience the wrath of God, because the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on you. You will pay for your sin for all eternity and wait in hell with thrown like a fire. It's the truth. But if you're a saved believer today, we still got to run back to the cross, and we got to confess our sins and thank, Lord, thank you for the blood. Search me, Lord. Is there any filthiness in me that's not bringing you glory and honor? We got to keep doing that. We got to keep doing that every day. Surrender. They weren't doing that, and it just destroyed their life. They stopped worshiping. They stopped giving. They had idols in their life. They defiled the temple. Now go to chapter 30 and verse number 1. It says this, and Hezekiah sent all Israel and Judah. So now he's trying to get all corporate worship, not just Judah now, Israel, who had been taken away. And he wrote letters to Ephraim, that's the northern tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken a counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation, so they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel. So it was corporately, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So, you know, we have to keep going back to the Lord and not demand from the Lord, you do this. Because God owns everything. He owns us. So we have to do the total opposite. We got to come with everything open and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, that's what I want you to do. I own nothing. Think about this. If you had a business and I work for you, and one day you saw $10,000 out of the account, and I was your manager, you'd be like, what? No, I took that $10,000 and I gave it to the employees. You'd be like, what? You didn't ask me first. If I just went this afternoon and went to your house and took your car without asking you. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm just giving you stupid examples, but this is exactly what we do to God. Whatever we want, and then we like, oh, sorry, God. But think about it. If we did this every day, this may sound extreme to you. Think of it like this. We're going to look at the word submission in a minute. And it's hubotasso, and it means to rank under. It means like a private listen to a sergeant. Does he talk back? No. Those who have been in the military, you ever talk back to your sergeant? You came out of boot camp, absolutely, you can't say it. You have no say in the matter. And that's how we have to come to God first. We have no say in the matter. But you have to see that God is good. He's not going to tell you anything that's not right. He will bless you. See, we have this wrong concept of God. So if you start with a wrong concept of God, you're going to be in trouble. You're not going to want to surrender. But he could do way more than you and I could do with us. But it starts with surrender. We got to let him clean up the house, spiritually speaking, and open up all the closets. Because that's a stopping surrender. All right, so let's talk about submission. So the essentials in order to surrender is first, we got to see that we're stewards and not owners of everything. The second thing is submission to God's will, not ours. Let me give you some verses. Just look at the screen. You don't have to turn to them because I'm going to go through some quick ones. First of all, James 4:7 says this. Submit. Again, it's the word hubotasso, to rank under. Yourselves, therefore, to God. Right? So resist, be under God. No talking back. Just obeying what he says. Of course, it's found in the word. And then he says, resist the devil and he will flee. Now we got to use the word in order to have victory. But you got to obey the word and believe the word in order to use the word. We can't have victory without submission first. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Then resist the devil. Another one, and you know this when Jesus taught us to pray. Matthew 6, 9, and 10 says this. After this manner, therefore, you pray you. So he's talking about a model. He's not saying repeat this over and over, because we see in verse 7, he says, don't repeat this over and over. Our Father, which is art in heaven, hallowed. It's a word means to venerate, to praise, to bring holiness to God, right? He's holy, but to praise him. But then the next verse is what I want to focus on. Verse 10, thy kingdom come. And that just means God is reigning. But then he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, how is God's will done in heaven? Perfectly. Now, I got to be careful. God is still sovereign over the earth too, but he gives us freedom of will. And now he's saying, thy will be done. So we should be praying every day throughout the day, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Not what I want, you know, what do you want? So on Thursday, I'm driving to New Haven Green. I'm like, Lord, please, not my will, thy will. Just lead me to whatever you want to do with me today. You start praying like that, look out. Instead of we go sick, Lord, can you bless this? Can you do this for me? Can you do this? Can you do this? If you just change another person, if you just we come with this list. Don't do it. Now, I'm not saying don't pray for specific things or people. What I'm trying to say is your own life. Come and say, Lord, whatever you want to do. That's what I want. So I'm praying that driving to New Haven Green. And so, long story short, I get there, and I see this guy with this hat on, and it says University of New Haven. And then I saw like a white coat underneath that, and I realized, oh, this guy, so I go up to him, hey, you work at University of Haven? I said, yeah. I said, my wife, she does too. And so I pointed to her, oh, yeah, she's the lady that gives out the candy when you drive the van. So, long story short, I went around talking to other people. I came back to him. I talked to him. I shared the whole gospel with him. And I asked him, hey, man, where are you going to spend eternity? He says, I'm going to heaven. I said, well, why are you going to go to heaven? Why is God going to let you in? He goes, man, I'm a good person. And I, you know, right away, I know that that's a, so I don't tackle with that. I've shared the whole gospel with him, and I showed him that picture. Look, if you can get to heaven by being good, Jesus died for nothing. He was like, oh, man, I get that. Oh, I can't get to heaven then. Long story short, I just shared the gospel and he professed Christ. See, this idea that I want to do this and this, if you would surrender, and I would surrender every day, look out what God can do with you. And you don't have to have all these talents and abilities, you just have to be surrendered. And then he can use you, because then what's happened? He gets the glory. We don't get the glory, he gets the glory. That's why I can't work with proud people, because we'll take the glory. You know, the reason that guy got saved is, let's listen, because I said this, I said that. If I didn't say that, he never would have got saved. I was like that when I first got saved. I'd walk away, I'd get so discouraged. Oh, if I just said that, the guy would have got saved. I mean, are you kidding me? My words to this guy is his salvation is in that. We're all in trouble. It's God who is drawing. It was God who is drawing the increase. You're just a vessel. Thank God he even uses us. That's why Paul said, I'm the least of all his saints that I can share the gospel to these Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Don't look at witnessing as a burden. It's the opposite. The why we see that is because we're not totally surrendered. We're afraid. We're going to lose something. But the funny thing is, we don't own anything. We've been deceived. If you don't own anything, so somebody can't take something away from you. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I want to show you an example of Paul and Barnabas surrendered to God. Now, I'm going through the book of Acts. Hey, come out. You want to hear verse by verse, learn the Bible? Come on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 7:30 to 8. I go verse by verse through this book, Acts. We went through the Old Testament, went through Matthew. Come. On Sundays, I'm bringing more, you know, topical things. We're going through it, but come. Verse by verse, you'll learn the Bible. That's what I want you. I want both. That's why I'm balancing it, right? So in Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul really is Saul of Tarsus all the way up for a long time. A lot of people call him Paul, and it was people in the Acts, you know, until chapter 11, they weren't called Christians. They were called those that go by the way. They were called disciples. Now we use that term Christian, but even in the epistles, what's the main word that they use? Saints. They don't really use the word Christian. I mean, we use it a lot. Anyway, look at verse 1. It's been about 10 years, roughly, that Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, is now saved. All right? And they still keep calling him Saul. We're in chapter 13. He's not the Apostle Paul yet, in a sense. All right? Verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was in Antioch, and that actually becomes, and you'll come on Wednesday nights, you'll learn it, the Antioch actually becomes the center. Like, if you back up in Paul's day, Capernaum was the main thing in the Sea of Galilee in the north. That was kind of like the home front where Jesus would go out of. And then the early part of Acts, it was Jerusalem. But then later, it becomes Antioch of Syria. Is kind of the mission field where they go out. That's where the first missionary went, the second missionary journey, right? And he says, prophets and teachers as Barnabas. Now, we know Barnabas, right? He was the giver. He was an encourager. He would eventually go with the Apostle Paul on the missionary journeys. And then he says, Simeon, most believe that this is the guy that carried Jesus' cross. Not positive. That was called Niger. Niger in the Latin means black, so he was from Africa. I love the diversity here. And then it says Lucius of Cyrene, and he was from North Africa as well. And then it says, and Ammian, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. So this guy was with Herod Antipas, ruling the time of Jesus. And then it says, and Saul. Do you know Barnabas was actually more of the leader than Saul was in the beginning? Now watch what happens. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord, and I want you to get this, they fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Not some men, not what I think, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, listen, I want you to notice something. They had a surrendered life already. They were serving God. They were ministering already. They were fasting and praying and seeking after God. You and I will never be directed by God to do whatever God really wants us to do until we're surrendered. And then he will guide you and do things you never, ever dreamed of. So I want you to see that they were serving, they were ministering, they were seeking God, and then God said, separate me them. And verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. Right? It was an outward sign of appointment. It was confirmation what God was doing. They sent them away. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by the what? Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, the island. That was where Barnabas was from. So as believers, are we surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Are we serving him right now? Are we seeking after him daily so he could direct us? Because as we're doing that, you begin to see God working, and even though your plans don't work out, they turn out better. So two Fridays ago, I was getting my wood stove cleaned, you know, over the flu. So I made an appointment. This guy's going to show up at 12 o'clock. I have a discipleship at 1:30, an hour away. So this guy's got to come do the wood thing. I figure it's going to take a half hour for him to clean it. I'll get in the car. I'll drive. By 1:30, I'll be in Danbury to how to do a discipleship. So I'm waiting in the morning, and all of a sudden I get a text from the guy for discipleship. Says, you know, I can't make it. Sorry. Can we do it Saturday? I said, no, I'm too busy. So he cancels, right? And the week before, the wood guy was supposed to come. He never came. So I was waiting for him. Now this is the second time the wood guy's coming. The discipleship guy canceled. The wood guy doesn't show up till 1 o'clock. Good thing the other guy canceled, right? But I'm thinking, oh, I canceled discipleship. I was like, and so I'm thinking, and then I was like, all right, Lord, I just surrendered unto you. Maybe this wood guy needs to get saved. You see, what I'm trying to show you is that we have our plans, but when I finally surrendered, I said, Lord, whatever you want today. So the guy comes in, he's a young, in his 20s, he's cleaning, I'm talking about his life, because I know I have at least an hour with him. So it's always just wisdom, getting to know the person, talking to him. He's opening up his life, his heart, and this. I'm asking about his family, whatever. He's getting down to picking up all his stuff. So I'm praying, Lord, please, may this guy get saved. I just surrender. Use me, Lord. And as he's picking up his blanket, I say, can I give you something? I gave him a book, you know, More Than a Carpenter. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. And he sat down. We sat there for a half an hour. And in the end, he professed Christ. When I asked him the question, where are you going to spend eternity? He said, man, I'm going to hell. And I always say, you're closer to heaven than you realize. I don't have to prove that he's a sinner going to hell, right? I just got to take him to the cross. Take him to God's grace. That's all I had to do. And I showed him that afterwards. I said, look, all the good people, it's so hard to... He goes, I get that. All I'm saying to you is forget about your plans. And this sounds kind of crazy, I know. I'm not saying don't have plans to do things, but I'm just saying hold them loosely in your hands every day. Lord, I think this is what you want me to do, but start praying throughout the day. And when things go awry, say, oh, Lord, what do you have me to do with this now? That's the surrender. That's submission to him. This guy from all eternity, God was going to save. And right, if I was doing my own will, maybe I wouldn't have been the vessel that day. It would have been somebody else. God's going to do his will. Let me tell you, perfectly. And if you and I get a chance to be part of that, you're going to be blessed. But if we're not, we're not going to be blessed. We're not going to enjoy the life that he has for us. Is incredible. Though the angels are rejoicing. Man, I was rejoicing. There's no greater thing than leading someone to Christ. The joy, that soul is going to be eternity in heaven. My car is rusting. Everything I own in my hand, it means nothing. So listen, God has a plan. I mean, I thought I was going to be a bodybuilder the rest of my life. I can't believe I'm standing here being a preacher. I had no desire to do that. I was shy. First time I ever read. I was second year in high school. You had to read in front of people. I was like this. Now I still tremble, but it's inside. It's like, Lord, please, can you do this? Andrew Murray, great quote. He said, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. See, we're all filled up with something every day, and it's going to come out. Why not fill up with Jesus every day? So when we're pressured or anything, Jesus is going to come out, and it starts first in your home. See, if we're yielded to him, what's going to come out? Jesus is going to come out at home, at the workplace, wherever. But if we're not surrendered to him, we're surrendered to something else. And that's filling us up. And that's going to come out. Listen, you know, and I know when, if you know people, you know when they're on fire for God and they're not. It's really not rocket science, right? All right, so submitting now, this is where we're going to get practical. Submitting to God, we know we got to do that. We saw that, right? It's practical, though, it's in relationships. So let's go through some of them. Now, don't turn there. I'm going to put them all on the screen for you. All right? The first verse is Ephesians 5:21. So put down submission to God's will. Here it is. Submitting, again, hupotasso means to rank under yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Right? So again, it's how can I serve you? This idea of submitting one to another, you're preferring the other person. You're saying, how can I serve you? Now, I can tell you a funny story. I went to Ashley to see her up in the Word of Life yesterday. And we went up to New York. Saw Lake George, beautiful up there. I went there when I was a little kid. And one of the things that they do, they use this term preferring one another. So they're saying, we have to prefer one another. It's in Timothy. But she says people misuse that for their own sake. So a person will say, will you prefer me and let me do this? They actually turn the scriptures around so they could be selfish and what they want, say, you need to prefer me. And they'll say, I won't say some of the things that she was telling us. Like one girl was telling her, you know, you prefer me, can you do this, this, and this to all the roommates? And that's not the scripture. It's the opposite. It's looking to serve them. It's not saying, and we do this. We manipulate the scriptures to do what we want. Honey, if you really love me, you'll do this for me. Submitting yourselves, watch, in the fear of God. So every, you know, these verses, they all get tied back to God, right? So if we're surrendering to God, what we'll do is prefer the other person, no matter who they are, no matter what they have done. But see, we look and say, oh, Linda did this to me. Oh, I am not going to prefer her. I am not going to serve her because she hurt me. Watch. You're not surrendered to God then. It says in the fear of God. It doesn't say because they deserve it. Next one. 1 Peter 2:13. Again, same word. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for whose sake? The Lord's sake. Whether it be the king as supreme. So you're saying, Pastor, I submit to every law there is. Yes, if it doesn't go against the Bible. If it goes against the Bible, say, no, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to pray. That's when you say no, if the Bible is the opposite. But everything else, it's submitting to God. Next one. 1 Peter 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. The word elder there is the idea of age and office. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. There's that phrase again, subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. See, without humility, you can't submit. It's impossible. When we become self-righteous or prideful, there's no way you could submit. It's impossible. As soon as I think I'm better than Jen, I am not going to, you know, prefer her over it. No way. It ain't happening. As soon as you look down at somebody, even it could be in your own home, and you look down at them, you will not submit to God. Because you think you're better than they are. Because they're doing this. There's tons of verses. I'm just going through some of them. Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey. Now, this is a different Greek word. It's pytho. It means to assent. Assent them that have the rule over you. It's talking about leadership in the church. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable to you. Now, again, if leadership tells you to do something opposite the Bible, don't do it. But if it's within God's framework. Now, remember I said last week, if you were the pastor, you'd do things differently. I know you would. We all would. And I can't even do all the things that I really want to do. But submitting, listen, what if you know me, what do I want? I want people to get saved. I want them to be discipled and grow. I want this to be a praying church. I want people to forgive one another, love one another, not gossip and tear each other down. Let's let the Holy Spirit, like, move. I mean, I think that's all of God's will, right? I mean, that's all I want. I want to lift up Jesus, not some church, not some. That's it. I hope you want the same thing. then why are we like tearing each other apart? When you know, we say things to people to their face. Somebody said yesterday, as long as you smile to me at my face, you can talk behind my back. It's not biblical. I'm telling you, when I'm looking at all these verses, it all goes back to God. Will we surrender to God? We don't surrender to God, we're not going to surrender. And these are practical areas. The next one's tough for wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. See those phrases, they're all there. Look at your husband as Jesus, and you say, how in the world can I do that? Now, I always qualify and say, you should never take abuse. If somebody's hitting you, call the police or I'll call them for you. I'm not talking about that. But this idea, I was talking to somebody. I'm always leery to say things, but I was talking to somebody. I was looking at another building, actually. Somebody called me and said, hey, look at this church building. I said, I got nothing to lose. The person said they sat this amount of people. So I was, okay, let me see. I go in there, it was like half of that number. I was like, this ain't the place for me. But anyway, I was genuine. I walked around. And then I saw on the downstairs, it was a big downstairs, I saw all the pastors' pictures since like 1900. They had every pastor who was pastoring. And I noticed that guy was there 1 year, 2 years, like 3 years, 2 years. I'm like, something's wrong. So one, the longest guy, I think, was 12 years. And then the last one before this person was a woman who was a pastor. And so you know me, I say, do you think that's right? 1 Timothy says, the husband of one wife, he that rules well. Paul said the woman should not usurp authority over a man. And he tells you why. He says Adam was created first and the woman was deceived. And I said, listen, it has nothing to do with ability. Women can teach, they have all the minds, they could do it. Some women preach really good, but it's not biblical. I said, do you believe in that? Like, and he was saying some stuff, and I didn't want to get into argument. But see, it's easy not to submit to the Word of God and grow. If I just said, that doesn't matter, let women preach. Let's just, you know what? We'd all just love one another, that's it. Let everything flow. Let me tell you something, you will grow and grow. Even in your life, you would compromise. You say, look, I'm getting more money, I'm getting this, I'm successful, but if you compromise the Word to do that, now I'm not saying you can't be a rich Christian, you can. There's rich people in the Bible. But don't you dare compromise the Word to do it. Because it won't last. We stand before Jesus, he's going to see exactly what we did and why we did it. Man may say it's success, but maybe not God. We have to be very careful. And that's where I'm at now as a pastor. Like, I'm at like, Lord, whatever you want to do, that's what I want. Whatever that looks like, that's what I want. All right, children, listen up. Children, obey. The word obey is hupakuo. It's a little bit different. It's the idea to hear under, to conform to the command. Children, obey your parents. Here it is, in the Lord, right? For this is right. Now, if you're a young person here and your mom's telling you to go steal a loaf of bread, don't listen to her. But I don't think there's anybody in this place saying to do that. Most of the things your parents are telling you to do, they're not wrong from a Bible standpoint. And you say, but I know better. See, the whole thing is, God established this. And we say at that moment, listen, Pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. That is wrong. My mother doesn't know what they're talking about. My dad. See, that's why I really believe he qualified all the time as unto the Lord. To the Lord. He established this, not me. I'm not preaching this. This is God's word. So a practical way to see if we're surrendering to God is, are we doing those things? See, we can say, Lord, I love you so much. I'm surrendering to you, but you're not obeying your parents. You're not surrendering to God. It's a practical way to check it out. All right. You know what? I'm going to end here. I can't finish the whole message, so I'm not going to rush through it. you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor, I'm struggling with submission. We all are. But it's the most freeing thing, if we really get a hold of this, that God owns everything, and we're going to put it in his hand first. And if he wants to put it in our hand, so be it. A lot of pain comes because we hold on to things, and if they're taken away, we have these plans, and they don't work out. We get so upset. But God has the best plan for you. Let's bow our heads for a minute. Father, we come before you. I ask you to forgive me for not always surrendering to you, Lord. I know your way is the best way, but we just think, man, ours is the best way. And I'd be so happy, Lord, if X, Y, and Z happened and it's not happening. You know, these people around me, my boss, my spouse, my kids, whatever it may be. I thank you for the example of King Hezekiah. Even though his dad was an idolater, killed his own brother, he still followed you. He chose to follow your way. And you blessed him. And you blessed those who would follow you, Lord. So we come, we come, Lord, we surrender. What do you have to surrender today? I don't know, but just surrender it. Father, I just give you my kids. I give you my husband, my wife. I give you my job. I give you my finances. I give you whatever your burden was. Give it over to God. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be a good steward of it. I didn't get that today, but we'll get to that next week. You still got to be a good steward of what God has given you, though, because he can't bless poor stewardship. So please, look at those areas and say, how can I serve God in those areas? And then I'll let him control what happens. You're here today and you've never surrendered to Christ one time. You've never come and said, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm no good. I thank you that you are the Savior. You are the truth. You're the way. You are God himself. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried and you rose again. You're alive today. I'm going to turn. I'm going to repent. What I'm trusting in my goodness and my sin. And I'm going to turn by faith. Because of your grace, I'm going to accept only you. Please don't put that off. Come to Jesus today. Anybody at all say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. Anybody at all, don't put it off. Anybody at all, maybe you're reluctant to raise your hand. You can accept Christ yourself. You don't need me. But you got to see yourself as a sinner on your way to hell, in order to go to a Savior, to save you from your sins. And he wants to give you a brand new life. All right, you're a believer today. I don't know where you're struggling with the surrender thing, but you do. Ask first thing, Lord, can you come and clean out my closet, my spiritual closet, get all the filthiness out. Forgive me all my worrying and my complaining. And I come to you, Lord, totally surrendered. I give everything over to you. Please use me to build your kingdom. And I'm not going to rest in my comforts. I thank you that you promise you're going to take care of me as I seek your kingdom first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.